The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined in studio by Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. I hadn't got to my coffee yet, but when I get it in...
Not yet, because you were in a meeting, I know.
That's right. We go back and forth from meetings, but if I start off slow, I will pick up steam. Just hang in there.
You will. And at least we don't have to worry about you choking on popcorn.
That's true. That's true. Dad usually once a week does the choking of the choking of the popcorn there.
Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good morning, both.
Now, folks, if you are watching the video, I think I have not said all week long, you can watch the live video stream of this show. I might as well tell you, because this is what Tim has me do every day.
Yeah.
You can watch the live video stream of this program in a variety of ways. You can go to Facebook, and you can search for Today's Issues. You can go to YouTube and search for Today's Issues Live. You can go to our own streaming platform, stream.afa.net. Or you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and search for American Family Radio, and you can see the live video stream. There's a reason why I mention it. Fred is wearing the least Canadian thing he could find in his closet.
That's true.
It is,
that's the best way to describe it.
It is like Luau Day here at AFA.
Yes, it is.
Dress code-wise.
Yes.
So I wore I guess it's like a Hawaiian shirt, but it's blue and black. My two favorite colors.
That's right.
But Fred has just a colorful shirt.
Well, Steve Jordahl has been busy this week covering the Southern Baptist Convention. So he is not here to represent Crazy Shirt Day.
Yes.
So
you did a fine job.
Yeah. We had a note from our human resources department yesterday. We're cooking hot dogs here on the campus today. And they said, you know, kind of treat it as a luau day. And I thought, that's a good idea. Beautiful day out there. And also, quite frankly, a little bit of melancholy.
Yeah.
There's only 8 days left before the longest day of the year.
Oh, that's right.
And then the days start getting shorter again.
Oh, now, why did you bring me that down,
up,
Fred? Man.
I just...
Well, you can look at it the other way. We still got how many days?
Yes. We have eight days.
Yeah. That's right.
Also joining us remotely from Kansas City, Kansas, is Dr. Ray Pritchard. Good morning to you, Ray.
Holding down my side of the bargain with a very boring dark blue polo shirt.
You couldn't get far plain.
There's nothing there.
It's completely boring today.
Listen, about 2 years ago, I got a bunch of Hawaiian shirt kind of things because after COVID, we relaxed the dress code a little bit here. Tim jokingly says we relaxed it too much. As far as he can tell, we can wear anything except for pajamas. That's what he says. I just know that everybody, so we don't have to tuck our shirts, and we can wear the shirts that are outside the pants.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I got these kind of Hawaiian shirts. And, of course, last year my wife said no more of those. And I do have some brightly colored ones, but it's hard for me to wear bright colored clothing. I just always want to wear dark
black, and neutral.
Black, blue, or gray. This is one of my favorite shirts that I'm wearing.
Okay. I can't tell on the feed. Is your shirt tucked in? Or
no,
is
it, no, sir. I tucked my shirt in all this week. Today, it's luau day. I'm going crazy.
So you're living on the edge.
Living on the edge.
So I confuse people sometimes because I'm very you got to be 5 minutes early or you're late.
Right.
Very punctual, very professional, all business. But I was the first to support – audibly the change in dress code, more casual, that's what I'm looking for, more casual approach to that. If I could get away with it, I would wear Crocs to church. But my wife would not allow me to do
glad
that.
Glad Chelsea's on the ball.
Yeah, Chelsea is my – she's my conscience when it comes to what I wear. Cause I'd wear gym shorts everywhere, so.
Yeah. But, we could get off. Dress code at church sure has changed.
Oh, it changed a lot. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Quite a bit.
Sure has changed since I was a kid.
Yes.
When I wasn't going to church.
Yeah, that's right.
So we never went to church. So I don't even know. So when you were growing up, Fred.
I was growing up in the 60s and the 70s. For men especially, colored shirts, forget about it.
White shirt
and it was
only.
Always white shirt and tie.
Yeah.
And either dark suits or gray suits.
Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
So men wore suits to church when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
I'm glad I got saved later in life, to be honest.
In the early 90s, when I was raised and going to church, it was all khakis and polos.
Yeah. Yes.
Seriously. Khakis and polos. Now, I mean, blue jeans and a collar shirt will work.
Yeah.
Well, for most churches. I don't know. Well, I say that it's changed a lot in a lot of churches, but you still have.
Right.
What you're describing in some churches.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, let me just mention my side of the problem, because I do a lot of guest speaking around the country.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a real problem if you're a guest speaker going to a church you've never been to, Wesley.
Yeah, that's right.
And you don't know. And they'll say, wear whatever you want. And I go, no.
No, and that's not what I need. I need specifics.
I need some guidance.
Tell me what you want.
In this case, I need you to tell me what you want. Yes.
Because we know, Ray, there are people in church who are not going to get past what you're wearing.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
I mean, that's sad, but that is true about human nature.
Yeah.
They're going to say, why am I listening to this guy? He doesn't have a suit and tie on.
Yes.
You know, if they want me to go business casual, tell me, right?
Yes.
Or, and in fact, next month I'm speaking at a church in North Carolina, and they were kind enough to tell me that it's one of the rare suit and tie churches that's left in America.
Wow.
And, hey, that's cool with me.
Yeah.
Just tell me what you expect. So I won't be wearing my Hawaiian luau shirt, Fred.
Y'all need to hear this one. I'll do it in 1 minute. I travel a lot with and meet supporters, right?
Yeah.
So again, khakis and a polo is sufficient, I believe, what I would wear to work.
Right.
So did that, went down to – I ended up doing – instead of khakis, I did really nice visually looked nice blue jeans and an AFA collared polo with their logo on there.
Right.
I wore that to an event. It's just like a town hall event. I had one lady come up, and probably in her 60s or 70s, and in a very constructive but very rebuking way, said that I did not represent well with what I was wearing. Okay, and I said, I received that. Thank you for letting me know. I will take that into consideration next time.
Yeah.
The very next evening. Very next, I was trying to knock out a handful of events while I was gone. Next evening, I was in a different location, 6 hours north of where I was.
Yeah,
I went from Baton Rouge to West Monroe. Next evening, I was in Baton Rouge, so it was north or south. At that event, I had a guy come in about 20 minutes late and looked borderline homeless.
Right,
he was a supporter, listener of ours. And he comes in a few minutes, about 20 minutes late, comes in the back. We've already started. I've already done my part.
Yeah.
And so I see him walking up, so I go over there, you know, hey, introduce myself, and say, hey, I'll help you find a seat. And the very thing he said to me was, he said, well, I'm glad that I'm not overdressed, and I'm glad what you're wearing, because I feel comfortable. What do you do?
So let me see if I got this straight. The guy that you said looked borderline homeless.
Yes.
I approve of what you're wearing.
I see where you're going. Yeah, but
events like that, you can't make everybody happy.
Yeah,
and you do the best.
But
you
I like Ray's option. If you know where you're going and you got somebody that's coordinating it, ask them.
Yes.
Yeah,
you get someone to blame. Yeah, always. This is what so and so told me to wear. All right, we need to move to some hard news, and boy, we've got some.
Yeah, a unanimous decision from the United States Supreme Court this morning, basically saying that the nation, our drug stores, et cetera, can continue to use the abortion drug Mifepristone. Mifepristone, yes. And it was a case that Alliance Defending Freedom, representing a group of pro-life doctors, went to court. Just to put it in context, this drug is used in about two-thirds of the abortions in this country.
Good gracious.
To put it very briefly, Supreme Court decision, it was written for the unanimous decision by Justice Brett Kavanaugh. He had some interesting things to say. And the bottom line, he said, these particular group of plaintiffs did not have the standing necessary to put a ruling out there that said, no, Mifepristone is a dangerous drug. And even though, as Alliance Defending Freedom notes, that the drug companies, even because they have to put warnings out there, that, you know, some women who use this can end up in the emergency room. But they said this particular group could not prove that they, in particular, were negatively impacted by the sale of this drug. So I wanted to read a little bit about what Justice Kavanaugh had to say here. He says the plaintiffs may present their concerns and objectives to the president and the FDA in the regulatory process, or to Congress and the president in the legislative process. And they may also express their views about abortion and mifepristone to fellow citizens, including the political and electoral processes. And he also said, you know, we respect your views, your pro-life views on abortion, but we could not justify by you simply saying you're against the drug, we could not rule in your favor. So, unanimous decision. I was listening to a little bit of the other legal reaction to this before coming into the studio this morning. Andrew McCarthy was one of the legal experts on Fox. He put it this way: it would take a woman who was seriously impacted by the use of this drug to go to the Supreme Court and say the FDA was wrong in approving this for the general use of the population. Mm. Look what happened to me. And in that case, that is a person definitely negatively impacted by this drug. That person would have greater standing. Now, the ADF disagrees with the decision today. They say they're obviously very disappointed in the decision. They say nothing in today's decision changes the fact that the FDA's own label says that roughly 1 in 25 women who take chemical abortion drugs will end up in the emergency room. So, unanimous decision today against taking mifepristone off the shelf, as it were. However, the door is still open for this this drug to be appealed directly, as Justice Kavanaugh said, to the FDA. For instance, if you had a change in government in November,
right,
you had a different president, a different group of people at the FDA, they could say, we now have enough evidence that this is has negative impact on some people, and we're going to take it off the market. So the fight isn't over, but today it was simply a case of the court saying this group who brought this case cannot prove to us that it negatively affects them directly.
Did you say mifepristone, what percentage did you say of abortions in this country are from these abortion-inducing drugs?
Yes. According to the Associated Press, nearly two-thirds of all abortions in the U.S. last year were the result of these kinds of medication.
I would imagine that's increased since the overturning of Roe versus Wade.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there are other issues too. There are attempts in some states to stop the cross-border shipping of this, because right, there are states that now have very strict abortion rules.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's being fought is the transportation of these drugs across state lines.
Right.
So there are a number of cases going on right now.
You know, Ray, this is This is the difference. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this, but this is the difference between an abuse of moral law, talking about like the Old Testament law, and the power of the necessity of the power of the gospel to change hearts. Because if you want to kill your baby in 2024,
yeah,
there are people who will find a way to help you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And these kinds of drug abortion-inducing drugs are an example of that. This battle ultimately is, I mean, we need to keep fighting it in the legal arena, but ultimately this battle, like the battle against slavery, this battle is not going to be won simply by laws, because people are going to find a way to do what they want to do. And hearts have to change before people, a large majority of people in this country, adopt a pro-life view.
Well, you're absolutely right, Ed. And nothing could go more to the heart of the gospel than this, that the eyes of the heart are darkened until they are opened by the Lord. People are spiritually dead until God gives them life. So we shouldn't be surprised that lost people who are alienated from God, who do not understand what God has said, who are spiritually dead, we shouldn't be surprised that they turn to abortion and they raise it almost to the level of a sacrament. So one part of the battle is what we try to do here at AFR is to preach the gospel. We have Bible teaching programs, and we are in favor of preaching the life-changing power of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Having said that, Ed, there's the other part. We're going to fight. We're going to fight hard with the Alliance Defending Freedom and other great organizations. We're going to fight for the unborn, because nothing could be clearer, right? Could be clearer that a society that kills its unborn is destroying its own future.
Right.
It's under the judgment of God. So amen, amen to both sides. Let's preach the gospel, let's change hearts, and let's fight in the political arena to get some pro-life judges and pro-life people in the House and the Congress and in the White House. That's one way to make a big difference.
And, you know, Wesley, I did mention the battle against slavery. People like William Wilberforce and the British Empire, the abolitionists here in this country, it took a lot of work, a lot of political work,
yep,
as well as God moving on the hearts of people. The civil rights movement in this country, where people in other parts of the country didn't care what was going on in the Jim Crow South until their consciences were pricked by the images they saw on television, and then laws were changed. There really is, I don't think there is any excuse for Christians separating the spiritual from the physical in terms of protecting, in this case, unborn children.
Yeah, we're 100% compelled by the gospel to both advocate for life, both with an individual person who is considered not, also advocating for laws that would eliminate all abortions across the board. And the gospel compels us to do that, and we do that here at AFA and AFR. You know, just to mention a project that we've worked on, Activate, in the Activate course that will be released at the end of the month, the training course, we have a section in there based on our core values at AFA called pro-life, and in that we do several things, one of which we advocate for how to legislate for life. We also how to biblically explain life, and also how we can help people in difficult situations, how we can come alongside them and serve them with our finances, with our time, those people who are having pregnancies that are unplanned, how we can come along them, and we also advocate for adoption. So, I mean, go ahead.
Let's sit there for just a second.
Sure.
Explain, you mentioned Activate. This is a huge project that we are about to release here at the end of this month. Why don't you just explain a little bit about that, and let's point people to where they can get this kind of advanced training, because that's what it is.
Yes, we have a 18 powerful session training course, and out of those 18 sessions, a portion of those, I believe it's five or six, are dedicated to the life issue and covering the areas in which I just mentioned. And so within the course, the reason it's called Activate is because not only are we training you through video content, we're expecting you to follow the workbook as well. And in the workbook, there's several challenges that you have to complete in order to finish the training course. And part of the Activate side of it is going out and serving at your pro-life pregnancy centers. Also, finding ways to get involved, get your church involved in providing certain needs for single moms, whether that be diapers or whether that be formula. And so there's several ways in which we provide you just the beginning stages of getting involved and helping and changing the life. Also, too, we have a section in there of apologetics and walking us through how we can advocate for life from an apologetic standpoint, obviously using the scriptures and right. both science and logic as well. So we are really excited about that. And with this type of seemingly or fairly new areas in the abortion clinic or in the abortion discussion, the appeals, that's a new discussion, or fairly yeah. new. Most people, when they think of abortion, most people think of going to a clinic and right. having the baby disassembled or anything like that. So we covered the pills as well in Activate course. So I'm really excited about it, looking forward to it.
And where can folks go to get information?
That's a good question. Activate.afa.net, activate.afa.net. You can go there. If you put your email in, you'll be the first to hear about it. We're going to launch it to those that sign up on the website about a week early, and then July 1st, we'll launch it to everyone. So,
all right. By the way, this was Wesley's kind of dream, his vision for this was, I think, because you during some of these events with donors, mm-hmm. kind of these town hall kind of things, and yeah. people said, hey, listen, we need training.
The same ones that told me I needed to be wearing a suit. No, I'm kidding. I love our supporters. Yeah, we got a lot of feedback over the last 10 years about, is there any way that AFA can take the things that we're talking about right now yeah. on the radio, like the Supreme Court decision? Can you take these types of issues and find a way to train us in this and how to respond and how to answer this, both from a political standpoint, but also from a one-on-one standpoint, an individual standpoint? And we're able to accomplish that through the Project Activate.
Who are some of the people that speak in these sessions?
Yes, sir. So we have, again, there's five areas. We cover biblical authority and how it's the foundation for all things. Then we cover the life issue. We cover marriage and family, religious liberty, and stewardship are the other four areas that we cover. So some of the people that you'll hear on there would be Rick Green, religious liberty, Scott Klusendorf on the life issue, Rob West on stewardship, Joseph Parker also on the life issue, Abraham Hamilton, he's on as it relates to marriage and family, and Stephen McDowell as it relates to stewardship. So these are just some of the names that have participated.
There's a bunch of them, folks. Bunch of people. And there is going to be, I know we're kind of spending some time sure. on this, but you mentioned it, and we are coming up to the release date for Activate.
That's right.
There's even like a graduation too, right?
That's right. When they complete the course, when they complete the training course, we'll have a graduation, one in the spring, one in the fall, and you'll be able to meet some of the professors, and we'll have an official certificate and a day of celebration for your graduation. The reason I mention this is because these issues that we're going to continue to cover today, we also cover through Activate course, and we teach you how to articulate our position from a biblical and a logical and a common sense standpoint.
And if you graduate, you also get a Fred Jackson Hawaiian Luau replica
right.
shirt.
Right, with the logo Activate on there. Yeah.
Well, folks, I know we took a little extra time on that, but when Wesley mentioned Activate, this is really a key project for us. You're going to be hearing a lot about it in the months to come. This is an answer to really the passionate requests of a lot of people who support AFA, who do not feel like they know enough of the foundational ideas mm-hmm. yeah. to be able to interact with other people and represent Christ and represent a biblical perspective on these critical issues yeah. facing us today. So, all right, when we come back, we are going to have Riley Wildman and Jenna Ellis. More directly ahead. Please join us.
This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined by Wesley Wildman, Fred Jackson from Kansas City, Kansas, Ray Pritchard, and now Wildman number two, Riley Wildman, director of the AFA Foundation. Good morning to you, Riley.
Good morning.
And who you got there?
I got Emerson Ann right here with
Emerson
me today.
Ann is in the studio. We're not going to put her on the radio,
no.
But she is kind of accompanying her mom today. So.
That's right.
All right, Riley, what's up? I'm not even sure why we have you on today.
Well, you know, Walker and Wesley and Tim, my dad, said, hey, once a month, why don't you and Chelsea rotate and have either she or I on every month on all of our programs just to talk
good
about
recipes.
Oh, that's Wesley. Yeah, you know, kidding. I'm just kidding.
Are you saying because she's
I can't
a woman,
cook?
She's on to discuss recipes?
Golly,
you didn't say that when Chelsea was on.
No, I didn't. Well, there's a reason for that too. we talked about this. We have a foundation, a charitable gift annuity that we offer, but a lot of people don't know about it.
Well, that's why we had Wesley on, Riley on to
there
talk about it.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Riley.
Well, here we go. Well, yeah, so the foundation is just a ministry, our division, so to speak, of the AFA, American Family Association, American Family Radio, that just exists for our supporters to, like Wesley said, fund a charitable gift annuity that I can kind of give you a brief overview about that, and stock and wills. So just about the charitable gift annuity real quick, tell our listeners how that works, is they fund a gift to the ministry. It can be a minimum amount of $2,000 or anything above that. And it can be set up as a single life or a joint life. And then when they pass away, anything left over is a gift back to the ministry. So it's just a great tool that we have that in our ministry. We have over 500 or 600 annuitants in the foundation. And so it's a great, strong tool that we have
for the foundation. While they're alive, they get
monthly income. Yes, sir. So they get a monthly payment to them, as well as a partial tax deduction as well. So that is a great tool, as well as a stock. We also offer stock donations. They can just give an outright gift of stock to the ministry and receive a full 100% tax deduction, or they can use the stock as a donation to the ministry and fund that through a charitable gift annuity. So those are two of our great tools in the foundation. Yeah, Wesley.
Nice. I nothing to add. She couldn't have done it any better. Nothing to add. Seriously, though, a lot of times the reason we have her on is because you have to almost be in that. Well, you have to be in that season of life. It's not for everyone. It's very specific,
right?
And to what the purpose of the charitable gift annuity. So, by not talking about it and assuming people are going to know about it or find it, people are missing out, because there are a lot of our supporters, when they hit that season and they're right. in that very specific moment, being reminded about this as being an option is something that we want to keep in the front minds of our listening and our listeners and our supporters, because it's a win-win.
Right.
Everyone wins in a charitable gift annuity if that's something that you can financially can afford to do.
Right.
And there's a minimum.
Yes, 2,000.
Okay. Did you say that already?
I did.
Okay, sorry. I wasn't listening.
Well, you shouldn't have been on this page.
Hey, Brad.
Yeah, no. On this page looking around for recipes. I don't know what the deal is there. But
y'all have too much fun on this show here.
I just had a quick question. Wesley, you mentioned season of life. So is there a minimum age?
No, sir, there's not a minimum age.
Okay.
We have people do it as young as 50, 55.
Okay.
And then we have people call us when they're 75 and say, I want to start setting up a charitable gift annuity. And at that time, at 75, they, of course, start receiving their immediate payments. Then. Okay.
So yes, at age 75 is when you start getting the payments?
You could. Yes, sir.
Oh,
people
okay.
do that. Yes, sir.
And some people, but you could also do it sooner, too.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes.
You defer it, the longer you wait, the larger the income, obviously.
Correct. That is correct.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I listen to.
You do. Okay. No, you do.
My wife, Chelsea, helps out. She also works in the foundation department with Riley. They work hand-in-hand with another lady here on staff called her name's Jessica. The three of them oversee the foundation department. They do a wonderful job. How can they, if there was just one person, there's probably more, but they wanted to – are interested in getting some numbers and y'all running a sample and getting more information on the charitable gift annuity or other areas, how can they do so?
Yes, so there's a few ways that they can do. They can, of course, give us a call directly. That number is 800-326-4543. Again, that's 800-326-4543. And our extension is 345. Or they can also visit our website at afafoundation.net. That's afafoundation.net. And Wesley, they can run illustrations on our website as well.
Can.
Yes,
they
now,
sure
what
can.
What does that mean? That means they can
plug in their information. They can put in their name, their date of birth, and put in $2,000, for example. Or they can put in $10,000, and it'll run and show a calculation on the website of what their rate of return would be and how much they would receive back each year.
Oh, so excellent.
Is that fairly new?
No, that's on our website.
Well, I know, but how long have y'all offered that as an option? Because I didn't even know. I didn't know that.
For at least, let's see, I've been here for 12, 13 years. So well, at least 13 years.
Well, I thought that y'all, well, hold on. Just
no, I'm not being ugly.
I thought the whole reason that they called you is because there was a time in which y'all did it yourselves. But you're saying that they've always had access to be able to do that
they
themselves?
They have. They have. But, yes,
some
that
people,
is correct.
Some
people don't have access to their computer, a computer. So we offer that phone number for us to run the illustration over the phone, okay?
Right.
And then they can also visit our website and rent illustrations and contact Rob and the staff here.
Gotcha.
And we'll be glad to talk with them. If they have a complicated situation, Wesley, we'll be glad to talk to them that way.
I know those kinds of calculators have been online for many, many years, Wesley. When I try to calculate how quickly I can lose weight, according to how many pieces of pizza I have to cut out of my diet. And it's kind of a sliding scale.
It
helps quite a bit.
But something new, Wesley.
Yeah.
Wesley,
give me something new.
Okay, give you something new. Is Facebook.
Okay.
We are on Facebook now.
Okay,
AFA Foundation
nice.
Is on Facebook.
Facebook's as, not new, but y'all being on Facebook.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Okay, now create me. All right, Ray. and then we also have LinkedIn.
We're on
both of those platforms.
Y'all got on those platforms here in the last year or so because you're trying to do what we're doing here, and that's to make people more aware of the opportunity to do a charitable gift annuity. Well, I'm seeing here on the website you weren't telling a fib. You can go on there right now at afafoundation.net, and you can run your illustration there. The reason I didn't realize this is because when I went to Chelsea. She'll take phone calls and she'll get on her phone and she'll run illustrations. So
yes, and that's the same calculator. We have an app on our phone that's called Crescendo, the software that we use, and they can do it on our website or we can do it on our phone and give the same information that they can receive on their website our website, the same information we give over the phone.
All right. Well, Riley, give once again the contact information,
yes.
the website, and then the
yes.
phone number. The phone number, by the way, is just the regular phone number to get to AFA.
Correct.
But the extension is...
And this isn't, for my knowledge, this is an iPhone, correct?
Yes, it is. They're brand new, Wesley.
They're brand new.
All right. So that contact information is, of course, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or they can visit our website at afafoundation.net.
All right. Thank you, Riley.
Good job,
absolutely. I thoroughly respect the skills and abilities you bring to AFA.
Yes.
You're a real gift to the ministry.
And the help you are to Wesley.
Yes.
Very
that's
much.
Important. You got to keep him in line.
I told you I was going to take at least a couple of cups of coffee for you. By the time the show's over, I'll finally be clicking on all cylinders.
All right.
Thank you, Riley. All right. Hey, listen, now we're talking about seasons of life. I want to take this opportunity my wife is driving. She may be listening to the show. Want to wish her a happy anniversary. We've been married for 43 years today. Well, tonight at 6 o'clock will be 43 years. And so she's the love of my life, my best friend. And yeah. I do not insult her in public by talking about recipes and whatnot. But I've learned that lesson a long time ago. So,
well, that's awesome. Congratulations. 46 years?
43.
Sorry, I don't know where I get that.
Yeah, it's He needs more coffee, and you'll be right
43
up.
Years. 43, that's 43. Great.
And Ed is bringing her to AFA to give her a hot dog for their anniversary.
That's
seriously,
hey,
that's this afternoon, isn't
no,
it?
No, it is. It's they're starting that at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
So most of the hot dogs will be gone by the time we get off the show.
Yeah. I'll see you to that.
Well, exactly. What we're talking about, we're having an annual cookout here for lunch here on site. And so Fred's joking about the hot dogs we're about to cook here for our lunch. Cookout as Ed's anniversary day.
Yes.
But you know better.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm not bringing her here for hot dogs for our anniversary. No way. So,
do we have?
Oh, I was just going to say, cook out at home.
What's that?
The rabbit.
The rabbit story. I'm not telling the rabbit story
is
again.
Is Wesley aware of the rabbit story?
Oh, I am aware of it.
Okay.
I've never heard it.
Should I tell this?
No.
Yeah. No? Okay.
No.
Ray, I'll tell you off the air. It's
okay.
It's kind of gross.
Is it shocking?
It's not shocking for Ed.
Not if you know Ed.
Not for Ed.
It might upset some of our listeners. Well, now they're imaginations. Okay. Really quickly. So this is probably 10 years ago. We had a burn pile out in the yard, and we're out working in the yard on a Saturday. I'm burning the burn pile. My wife is working, doing something. We're over here by our shed out in the yard, tool shed kind of thing, where we have our lawnmower or whatnot. And I'm a city boy. I did not know rabbits make these kinds of noises. I hear this screaming, and I turn around, and there is a rabbit on fire. People don't believe me when I say this. This rabbit was on fire, must have had its burrow in the burn pile. It comes out screaming. My wife is screaming. And all I had was a shovel. Okay. And I'm just going to tell you, I had to put the poor thing out of its misery.
Yeah.
Plus, I didn't want it going under the shed. And setting the thing on fire.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah.
So I put it out of its misery with a shovel. And my wife, to this day, will not let me burn our burn pile.
Still.
We have another burn pile, and she says, no, there's rabbits in there.
Who knows what's in there. Right?
Yeah, no, there's rabbits in there.
AFA will soon be offering a video.
Listen, that would have gone viral. That's probably before viral videos. Now that we have told the rabbit story, we want to welcome Jenna Ellis to the show. She's host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, here heard on AFR, American Family Radio, at 7 a.m. Central Time. I don't know how this is going to go over with Jenna. She's kind of an animal lover. But anyway, Jenna, what do you think? Can you top that story?
I was about to hang up, Ed. I mean, I just was like, why – why would I contribute to this show when there's animal cruelty going on and I have my two little puppies in the background just listening to this? But actually, your story on more humorous note, I thought when you were saying on fire, you were kind of talking metaphorically like he was on fire. Yeah, like we would say for Jesus, you know, like he was on fire and he was like screaming because he was excited.
Unfortunately, this was literal.
Yeah. And it always reminds me of that meme that's so great that says, I want to be so full of Jesus that when a mosquito bites me, he runs away singing, there is power in the blood.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, Fred loves when I tell that story, and he's always painting me into a corner and basically making me tell that story. I think you're the one with a problem, Fred. All right, since you started that, Fred, why don't you – let's introduce the stories that we have Jenna on to talk about. We need her legal mind on this.
One of the great
on animal cruelty. No, I'm just saying
something else.
No, we don't want to offend PETA too much.
No, that's right.
That's right.
We'll get canceled.
By the way, that was an accident.
Absolutely accidental.
Sure.
I was horrified. Let me just add to this. I'm not really adding to it. I am a sure enough city boy. I did not know rabbits made those kinds of noises. I thought my wife was on fire until I turned around. But
the question, would you have hit her with a shovel?
No, listen. I would have hugged her and we both would have gone out the same way.
That's well it. Said and yeah. Happy anniversary. Yes. You'll still be married for another 40 some years. Yeah. That answer. Okay. All right. Anyway.
Hey, listen, one of the great concerns among conservatives is that we have an election that we don't have concerns about voting practices. Yeah. And a Michigan judge just ruled that the Democrat Secretary of State's election manual issued to local election officials is unconstitutional and violates state law. So, Jenna, tell us about this.
Yeah, and I had Cleta Mitchell, who's actually an election integrity fellow with the Conservative Partnership Institute, on my program this morning to break this down. She's been following all of this a lot more closely than I have. And so for listeners, you can always go to AFR.net. And that's about the last 12 minutes or so of my show, Jenna Ellis in the Morning, this morning. But basically, the bottom line is this judge actually followed the law. And it was a very good thing because the court declared that basically the Secretary of State can't just put into this election manual whatever she prefers and be the legislature in that sense. I mean, you have to follow election law. And those were a lot of the challenges in the post-2020 election, was that the election officials didn't follow state law. And so now, ahead of 2024, ahead of the election, which is very important, the RNC and even the DNC, I mean, everybody is arguing over the law around elections, and it should not be partisan, is really the issue here. And so this judge just simply followed the law and said, no, Secretary of State, you can't just write into your election manual and tell the election officials who administer the law whatever you prefer that violates the law and the Constitution. So this particular issue was around the initial presumption, quote unquote, of validity of signature verification on mail-in ballots and absentee ballot applications. Envelopes have to follow state law, and the Secretary of State in Michigan wanted an initial presumption of validity rather than actually checking those signatures in the manner that the state legislature has set forth. So the concern here, of course, is that if the Democrats decide to appeal this judge's ruling, it could land in the Michigan Supreme Court, which is controlled by Democrats, and there may be a political ruling. So we need to pray that all judges involved in all election integrity decisions heading into November would follow the law and not just manufacture their own policy to give preference to Democrats or Republicans. I mean, we as conservatives should want to conserve our rule of law and have a fair process that citizens only should vote. And as Cleta Mitchell wisely always says, to make voting more fair and to make it easier to vote but harder to cheat.
Hmm. Well, so what is the argument that I'm always shocked at the controversy over these kinds of issues. What do Democrats argue when it comes to just simply trying to prevent cheating? And what's a good answer to what they're arguing?
They, by and large, they argue that this is disenfranchising some voters, that if you don't have, for instance, in this case, the initial presumption of validity in signatures, then you are disenfranchising voters that don't meet that threshold. And it's all about, you know, voter disenfranchisement. We want everyone to vote. And that becomes their argument. But the problem with that argument, and where we need to respond, is to say, well, there is law surrounding voting, just like there's law surrounding a lot of other things. If you want to exercise your privilege in this country and your constitutionally protected right to vote as an American citizen, you have to follow the law. I mean, I moved to the state of Florida. I'm a resident here. I can vote here in the state of Florida, but I can't vote now back in my home state of Colorado. That is okay. If I decided to go and vote in an election in Colorado, that would be against the law. That's not disenfranchising me. That is simply requiring that I follow the law, that I vote in my state of residency. And so the Democrats want to say that conservatives are trying to narrow the vote and we're making it too hard and we're disenfranchising a bunch of people. But all we're doing is standing up for the rule of law and saying that there should be reasonable laws in place to prevent people who should not be voting right in elections from voting.
You know, Jenna, I'm not sure if you saw the story, the decision out of the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yes, I did.
Keeping the ban in place on mobile absentee voting sites. This is the kind of thing, when Joe Biden did his little speech on Juneteenth last week,
right,
it was all
and his dancing.
Yeah, and his dancing. Yeah, right.
Or not dancing.
But in his speech, he talked about, you know, there's groups out there that want to keep you from voting, want to interfere with your right to vote. Well, here's what's really going on, and this Wisconsin Supreme Court pointed to. And I want you to get a picture in your mind, folks, if you're listening right now, of those food trucks that you see in
communities. Yeah, I'm looking at the picture. It looks like a taco truck.
It looks like a taco truck. All right. This story is out of Racine, Wisconsin. All right. So Racine, Wisconsin, back a couple of years ago for the municipal election, they purchased with grant money it received, the city received, from the Center for Tech and Civic Life. And you say, what's that? Well, it's a nonprofit funded by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and his
Zuckerbucks.
Wife. So they used Zuckerbucks to purchase this van. But here was the problem. This was all controlled by Democrats. And they sent this van to get absentee ballots into communities, surprise, surprise, where they knew the bulk of the people were Democrats.
Right.
In other words, to ensure, and we're not sure about the legitimacy of the absentee ballots in question, but they went into they didn't go into Republican neighborhoods.
Right.
They went into Democrat neighborhoods to do it. And so fortunately, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, at least for now, has put a ban on the use of these mobile absentee voting sites.
What's your feeling on this, Jenna?
I think this is a good decision, and it's not because, you know, sometimes Democrats are more organized than Republicans in some of these very creative solutions. The problem here is that a mobile voting site that is run by a private organization is not the purpose for which absentee balloting was originally designed. It was for some people like who are overseas in the military, people who can't, because of health reasons, get to an actual ballot box. And to have these mobile sites creates a lot of problems. And it's basically a giant ballot harvesting operation. And conservatives have always suggested that, you know, we need to combat ballot harvesting when the entire design is to just go and basically hand people that you know are likely to vote for a certain political party preference and say, hey, fill this out, I'll turn it in for you. And it becomes activism rather than the citizens' participation in voting. And so while there is ballot harvesting where it is legal, Republicans should mobilize better. And if, you know, these types of vans ultimately became legal, then I would say Republicans should consider doing the same, right? And so, but this just, the overall point is that we have to have rules that are set so that there aren't these massive operations to just try to not turn out the vote and persuade voters to come to a ballot box, but actually go and almost signature gather and do all of these things that affect the outcome when that's not the purpose that absentee ballot was designed for.
My problem with ballot harvesting, listen, I know you're an actual attorney, but I have watched Law and Order and Blue Bloods. And listen, one of the cardinal rules of prosecution is evidence has to have a certain chain of custody in order to be valid. Okay, you can't have evidence for a crime sitting out in the break room where someone can contaminate it. And to me, it seems like if our elections are going to have the legitimacy they deserve, it seems to me that there should be a chain of custody mm-hmm. for all ballots, that chain of custody is in the hands of people who are mm-hmm. By law allowed to handle those ballots. But you have a taco truck going into a neighborhood. How do we know if all these ballots, and maybe there's not widespread cheating, but it does.
But we don't know.
But that's that is
an excellent point, that chain of custody is yet another issue in implicit in this whole thing.
I'm not just another pretty face who kills rabbits. I come up sometimes with some good stuff.
Yes, you do.
All right, Jenna.
Give that man a taco truck.
Yes,
that's right.
Give him a taco truck. Thanks for being on with us, Jenna.
Thanks so much, guys.
That's Jenna Ellis, host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, heard on AFR. You can hear her tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central. All right, folks, we are going to take a five-minute break for news. Fred's leaving here. He's going to go get some hot dogs while Wesley and I and Ray hold down the fort. You want to come back and hear what we have to say, we hope.